Good morning. My name is Ann Roy, and I'm a deacon here at the First Church. And I am welcoming everyone here this morning, especially our visitors. Thank you for choosing us to come this morning. We've got fellowship in the Jonathan Edwards room after the service. Please join us there. And also, we have childcare, which is down the hall. If you are in need to have a little one there, it doesn't look like anyone's here, though, right now. Please welcome our guest minister today. This is Marilyn Rozier, who is a member of the First Congregational Church of Lee. And she retired in September 2002. Her last position was Interim Associate Conference Minister for the Northeast. And she has served churches in the greater Boston area. Marilyn enjoys her time in retirement with her husband Stanley, son, daughter, grandsons, and granddaughters. And we thank you for leading us in service this morning. Was wondering if anyone had any announcements that they wanted to share this morning. Connie. Oh, great. It's good to put a smile on his face. Any other announcements? Seeing there are not any more, we shall start our worship with the call to worship, please. This is the day that our God has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the place where we gather to worship God. We will praise God with our hearts and our minds, with our hands and our voices. And the prayer of invocation we'll read together. In awe and wonder, we meet you here, O God. How great are your blessings in all the earth. Open our spirits to receive the gifts of your grace. Open our lives to receive and fulfill the assignments you would give us. Open our hearts, loosen our tongues, free our hands, that we might joyfully praise you with all that we are and all that we have. Amen. Our first hymn this morning will be Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, found on page number 464. Please join me in reading, in reading responsively, Psalm 85, 8 through 13. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak to peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet, righteousness and peace will kiss each other, faithfulness will spring up from the ground. Steadfast love and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and will make a path for his steps. At this point, Terry Wise will lead us in the children time. That's convenient, thank you.
More fun to be out here. I have something that's universal, so I figured whether there were children or not, we would all enjoy it. We're waiting for children to come in. We're just pausing for a moment for children to join in. They're busy, I think. They changed their minds. That's okay. Worker magic. Any of you with children the ages of my children might remember this book, and it was actually a book and recorded music by Marlo Thomas and friend, Free to Be You and Free to Be a Family. There was also Free to Be You and Me, which is a collection of really wonderful wonderful things. Do you want to? Would you like to? And I'll read to you from her. Thank you.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Whenever there's a guest preacher, she always changes things around. You've probably found that out a lot in the last few years because of all the changes that have been going on here. We aren't skipping the scripture lesson for this morning, but it's going to be in the body of the sermon, so bear with me and we'll get to the scriptures. Once upon a time, there was a person named David. His story is told in the ancient Hebrew scriptures, and his name appears in the gospel because it's said that to fulfill a prophecy, Jesus was to be born of the house and lineage of David. David, the son of Jesse, that stump out of which a shoot was to grow. Well, this morning's lesson from the Hebrew scriptures falls in the middle of David's story, and even though it's a familiar story and you probably know it, let's just review a little of what had happened to David up until the time of the story that we read this morning and what he had already done. God was not at all pleased, according to the scriptures, when the Israel people demanded a king. But he ordered the prophet Samuel to anoint Saul. Well, Saul was an imperfect king, and God was not totally pleased with Saul. And so it was decided that Saul's heirs were not appropriate king material. And God sent Samuel out yet again to anoint a new heir to the throne. Samuel went to Bethlehem, to the house of Jesse, to find that heir. And Jesse paraded 7 sons before Samuel, one at a time, each tall and handsome and strong. But none of them suited. God said no to each one. It turned out that the youngest, the young boy who was out in the fields keeping watch over the sheep, was the person that God had in mind. So David, the grandson of Ruth and Boaz, was anointed king. David became a young warrior and also gifted with his skill with playing the harp. And when King Saul was tormented with evil spirits, David was sent for, and his playing soothed Saul. So Saul made him his armor bearer so that he would have him close by his side so he would be available to play that soothing harp whenever those evil spirits tormented the king. The Israelites were at war with the Philistines, and the Philistines made a proposition. We'll send our best warrior to meet with your best warrior, and we'll just end this with one mighty battle. Well, that warrior turned out to be the giant Goliath, and with just a slingshot and 5 smooth stones in his bag, young David killed the giant. Saul made David commander over his armies and offered his daughter in marriage. Meanwhile, behind David's back, Saul plotted against David because he was jealous of him. But the people loved David even more, and David became best friends with Saul's son Jonathan. Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle. David went to Hebron and was anointed king over Judah, and Saul's son Ishbosheth became king of the tribes of Israel. When Ishbosheth was killed in battle, the Israelite elders came to Hebron to David and asked him to be their king too. At the age of 30, David was anointed king over Israel and Judah and vowed to make Jerusalem the capital of this newly united kingdom. And so here we take up the story in 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Baal-Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. So David went out and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes. This, my friends, is the word of God. David, dressed in an ephod, that was the garment that a priest would wear, and all of the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and cymbals. There was shouting and the blast of a trumpet. An ox and a fatling were sacrificed. There was feasting for everyone, bread, meat, cakes of raisins. What was going on? They were moving to a new place, and the very presence of God was with them. David's cup was overflowing, and he believed he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No wonder he and all the people danced and sang and played music and sounded trumpets and feasted. You see, in Exodus, there's instructions for building that ark, very explicit as to size and the kind of wood and the fact that it was to be a box covered with gold, that there were to be rings through which long poles could be placed so that people could carry it with the rings on their shoulders. And that box was to contain the tablets of the Ten Commandments, God's command that Moses had brought down from Mount Sinai. And God said that there were, on top of that box, were to be carved 2 cherubim, and that God would meet them in the place between those 2 cherubim. God said that from that place, God would speak to with all of you that I will give you a commandment for the people of Israel. Now, the history has big holes in it. Apparently, the ark had been in storage for some time, and we're not quite sure why or even where. But now David had retrieved it. God was with them. The 2 nations had been joined together to be 1 kingdom, and they were to establish a new capital, and David led the parade. So here we are in this really lovely meeting house. The place where we come to experience the presence of God. And you are in the process of moving to a new place, for isn't that what interim time is all about? Discerning where God would have you go and you beginning to move in that direction. So where's the parade? Where's the dancing? Where are the shouts of exuberant joy? Perhaps we frozen chosen of New England have a little of David's wife in us. She watched him making a spectacle of himself out there in the street, and she did not like what she saw at all. How unseemly, how undignified. Listen to all that noise, and look what he's wearing. When I was serving as an interim pastor in several churches in eastern Massachusetts. I often baked the communion bread myself because I found in each of the congregations they had not been accustomed to having the pastor have a large loaf of bread on the communion table to break, and I thought if that's what I wanted, it was probably my responsibility to provide it. I usually made a whole grain loaf, grainy and chewy, and one Sunday after worship, one of the deacons took me aside to have a word with me. He was distressed because he said the communion bread tasted good. He said that communion was the time of mourning the sacrifice and death of Jesus, and he preferred using white pita bread. Well, now, I tried to explain to him that I understood the sacrament as the joyful feast of the people of God, in which we are guests at Christ's table and where we experience the presence of the living God. I'm not sure that I ever convinced him. How sad that he could not experience the kind of joy and celebration that happens when a loved family member joins us at the dinner table, or when a little child blows out two candles on a birthday cake. How sad that the sacrament for him is a time of mourning rather than of joy and celebration. Before I went to seminary, I spent almost 25 years in psychiatric mental health nursing. One of my colleagues used to say that we psych nurses were sponges that soaked up everyone else's problems. And she said we had to be very intentional about where we went to wring out our sponges. Well, I believe that in different ways, all of us are sponges like that, one time for another. And therefore, we need to have intentional times and places where we wring out our sponge. For me, the church is the place where I come to wring out my sponge, to be relieved of my burdens, to inhale and soak up the unconditional, extravagant love of God. God loves you, each of you, holding nothing back, opening arms wide to welcome you as you are, even knowing that you can be so much more than you are right now, but loving you anyway. God is right here, right now, urging you on to a new place and a new adventure. So I challenge you to sing and shout and blow trumpets and dance in the aisles. God is here with us, supporting us and loving us and promising to be with us on the way to a new place. Amen. And now let us stand and sing exuberantly, number 324, Open My Eyes That I May See. This is the time in the service when we are about to come together in prayer, when we can bring all our celebrations and joys and all our hurts and worries and concerns to God. And before we do that, I would ask if there's anyone that would like to name a particular joy or concern for us to keep in our prayers this morning. Yes. Well, that's wonderful. To be able to have family together and have a joyful time is just great. Then let us join our hearts and our minds in prayer. Gracious and loving God, God of our sadness and our celebration, we gather here this morning to experience your presence and your purpose for us. You have been with us, guiding and loving us all our lives. Yet we confess that too often we have shut our eyes and our ears to your presence. Too often we have spurned your guidance and gone our own way. Forgive us for our self-centeredness, for our hard-hearted ways. Open us to be filled with your love. On this warm and wonderful summer morning in the beautiful place, we thank you for all that you have given us. We thank you, O God, for calling us to be your church. Help us to be good stewards of this world in which we live and of this church. Oh God, there is so much pain and anger and suffering in the world. We pray this morning for people everywhere who live in the midst of war and the threat of war. We pray for those who are hungry and thirsty and afraid. We pray for those in positions of power that they may use that power for good. Right here in this place are people burdened with pain, anxiety, loss, fear. May they know the healing power of your love. May they be guided and upheld by your hand. Gracious and loving God, may we walk in the light of your presence this week, that we might be as light and leaven and love in the world. All this we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. And now, as brothers and sisters in Christ, will you stand and share words of greeting and peace with one another?
Beautiful words, thank you.
Amen.